Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. We are a Christian internet ministry and a local church assembly. and we welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank everyone who has joined us. God is blessing us, and he's keeping us. He's protecting us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. And we want to thank him for his intervention in our everyday lives. Amen?
Amen.
He's a good Heavenly Father. He watches over his children, and he acknowledges things about us that sometimes we don't pay attention to ourselves. We want to thank the Father for his watch over us, his continual watch over us. And we give you praise, Father, for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. For those of you who are new, who are first-time listeners, welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus. We meet also on every Wednesday and Friday at 6:30 p.m. on the air in Jesus' holy name. And we invite you to join us then as well. At the beginning of our services, we celebrate Holy Communion, and we encourage you to join us. So if you do not already have your elements there with you, we encourage you to get them now, because we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes. You see, the Lord came as a direct result of the Father's insistence. The Father gave him a command, what he should do and what he should say. And he sent him into the world with a task and a focus. There were several things that Jesus needed to do, but among them was to set captives free. Among them was to heal brokenhearted. Among them was to touch people who needed his touch. So he came and he gave his life as a sacrifice for us. There was no other way for us to be redeemed without the blood of the Lamb, without the blood of Jesus Christ being shed on Calvary. There was no other way for us to be redeemed. There was only one method left. The holy, sinless Lamb of God had to come and offer his life a living sacrifice. The holy Lamb of God had to come and offer himself as a living sacrifice in Jesus' name. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. We want to thank you for your intervention in our lives. We want to thank you for being the sinless Lamb of God who took away all the sins of the world. We want to thank you for knowing us before we knew you. And we ask you, Father, to help us to grow in faith, to help us as we seek your face. We have a fast coming up, Father, time that we especially set apart to be with you. We ask you, Lord, to come as we call upon you to help us to grow in faith, to help us to listen to you and to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, we need to enter into a time of repentance, you see. Repentance doesn't just mean saying to God, oh, I'm sorry. That's not repentance. You know, anybody can say, oh, I'm sorry, and not even mean what they say. But repentance is when there's brokenness in the heart, when you realize that you have sinned against the Lord. When you realize that the penalty for sinning against him is death, when you realize that Jesus Christ had to give his life for a change to come about, for you to be reconciled to the Father. The Bible says that no man cometh to the Father except through Jesus Christ. There's no way to continue to live in a way that's pleasing to the Lord if you don't have a vibrant relationship with the Lord. You can't just do church things. You can't just come up and everybody's singing, so you sing. Everybody's waving their hands, so you wave. Everybody's dancing, so you dance. It's not Simon Says. It's not Simon Says. So we ask you, Father, to make it real to everyone, to strip away the veneer that we carry in our lives, and to make the relationship with you vibrant and alive and growing, thriving. It's essential. Without it, you can't go to heaven. There are a lot of people that have gone to church and gone through the motion, and when they died, they didn't go to heaven. Going through the motions won't do it. Your heart has to be broken before the Lord, and it has to be open before him. You have to want God to move in your life. You have to be seeking him for him to move in your life. So, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, having said that, we want to thank you for bringing us into a greater level of humility, for bringing us, Lord, to really understand that the life we live down here is not just getting up doing the same things every single day, that there is a time where we need to open our lives and allow you to pull away the hardness that's on the outside of our hearts and our minds, to draw us into a place of vibrant love and devotion and reverence to you, where we see that our sin is of our own doing, and we've allowed it to come between us and you. Father, we repent of these things, not just by saying I'm sorry, but by saying I'm turning away from it right now. I want no further dealings with it right now. Right now, I want that never to be a part of me again. So, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we ask you, Father, to bring us to the place where we are truly broken before you, where we're not going through the motion, but instead we're humbling ourselves, realizing that without your mercy, there is no hope for us. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for it in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to give you a couple of minutes for everyone to speak to the Lord themselves, everyone. Now, if you have your elements ready. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, we thank you, Father, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. Put it in. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. We want to thank you, Lord, that the chastisement you bring into our lives, the correction that you bring, keeps us from being condemned with the world. We want to thank you, Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, new adventures can seem to be overwhelming, but you have said to us not to fear, because you are with us. You remind us that you are our God. You promise us that you will freely give us strength. You promise to help us. You promise to hold us up with the right hand of your righteousness. Father, you want us to do what you told Joshua to do. You want us to be strong in you. You want us to be courageous because of you in our lives. You do not want us to remain fearful or discouraged or offended at the prospect of some difficulty or problem that we don't know quite how to resolve. You do not want us to become disheartened in performing that which requires courage. So we look to you, Father, for all that we need to walk in obedience to you. You have made each of us for yourself, and only you can fill any void, lack, or emptiness in our life, in our heart, in our mind, and in our walk with you. Only you can fill any void, any lack, any emptiness in our life, in our heart, in our mind, and in our walk with you. Father, you call us to pray and to refuse to give up due to frustration, anxiety, ignorance, or faint-heartedness. You stand ready to assist, to comfort, and to help us in every one of our needs. So you, Father, are our God. You go with us in life and in death. Your forever promise is that you will not fail us nor abandon us. Today, Father, we receive your comfort and your care for us in Jesus' holy name. Father, in the name of Jesus, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take authority, dominion, and power over every demon that exists on the planet, underneath the planet, in the air, in the airwaves, wherever they may be, in the name of Jesus Christ, and we bind them in Jesus' name. Every demon that is in this place, we take authority, dominion, and power over it right now in Jesus' name. We bind it, we chain it with eternal chains unto darkness. We send it to the feet of Jesus, caged, to be judged immediately in the name of Jesus Christ. We forbid spirits to float around our lives, leading us the wrong way, telling us the wrong thing to do. We bind every voice of the stranger in Jesus' name. We give ourselves to you wholeheartedly, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against and destroy every agenda, every plot, every plan, all wickedness that the enemy has planned for us, and we send those plans back upon his own head in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit of passivity, every spirit that refuses to get up and have the unction for the gumption to function in Christ in Jesus' name. We'll have nothing further to do with it, sitting back waiting for things to happen when you're waiting for us to get up and do something. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're not lazy. We just think things are just going to fall on us from heaven, but that's not the way you plan for things to go. We thank you, Lord, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And by it, by its exercise, the elders obtained a good report. We must walk in faith as well. We must get up and do something in Christ. We can't just sit back and wait on everything like it's just going to happen because the sun came up. No, Father, you call for us to be active participants in our faith walk in Jesus' name. Some of us think that I'm going to do everything. I'm going to pray all the spiritual warfare prayers. I'm going to stay up all night praying for the entire church body. I'm going to do this and that and the other. But today, Lord, you have intervened. And we are not doing spiritual warfare the way we normally do it today. Instead, this is what we say, Father. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, and every Friday, we bind demons in Jesus' name. We ask you to open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirit. Cause us to hear and to see and to perceive your very presence. Every time we come together, we take authority over everything the enemy is doing in our lives and the lives of others, Father. Every time we come up, we stand before your throne. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the wall of fire with the glory in the midst. We thank you for the armor of God. We thank you for the word of God. We reverence your presence. We welcome your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the praising angels over us. Every time we come together, Father, every time we come together, Father, we confess our sins. We bind every order, form, type, and rank of witchcraft and the occult that exists in Jesus' name. So today, Father, we come in agreement with what we've already prayed in the name of Jesus. We come into agreement, active agreement, not that passive stuff, active agreement with what we've already prayed. And we say, here we stand and we shall not be moved. Here we stand and we shall not be moved. No weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. And every tongue that has risen against us in judgment, we condemn it in Jesus' name. Every aggression of the enemy that has come against our lives, we bind it and we return it to the senders in Jesus' name, according to the covenant. We thank you for the covenant, Father. We thank you that it was ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that it stands and never falls. We thank you that it exists and that it goes on forevermore. We thank you, Lord, that when Jesus' feet touch the Mount of Olives, the covenant will still be active. Your word never fails. You never fail. You never forsake us. We've received the spirit of adoption from you. And we cry, Abba, Father. Yes, we do. You are our Father. You watch over us. You protect us. You train us. You teach us. And you cause us to obey you, Lord. We thank you for the love that stirs up obedience in our hearts because we love you. Because we love you. You have poured out your love, your mercy, and it's time for us to respond, Lord. It's time for us to give our heart to you in a new and fresh way. It's time for us to open ourselves up even further to your love and your care, knowing that you will always do what is best for us, whether we like it or whether we don't, Lord. You see, some of us think that we know what is best for us, but we do not. Only you know that. You know our past, our present, and our future as well. And so you call us to a place of trust, a place of trust, Father, where we trust you with all of our life, not holding on to it to steer it ourselves, but trusting you to do so. So we want to thank you. We want to thank you. We want to give you praise. We want to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have given us power and authority over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We thank you for Psalm 91. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that the angels go ahead of us. We thank you that you're our rearward. We thank you for your glory that surrounds our lives. We've come to say thank you today, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Even though things don't always look the way we desire, we thank you because you are working on our lives. You are bringing us to be those persons that you sent us into the earth to be. We want to thank you. We want to thank you. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, Father. We thank you for the grace that you release, and we thank you for your never-ending love. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, church, we're going to talk today about being dedicated to Christ. That's what we're going to talk about. Father says it's time for us to talk about this. So we will. Amen? We will. We're going to talk about this. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. I think I've got this about right. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Beginning with verse 21. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 21. Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." You know, there are a lot of people who declare that they love Jesus, but they don't do too much obedience. They love him. Oh, we love the Lord. The choir sings, and oh, they love the Lord. But when they walk out the door, there's not an awful lot of obedience that you can find in their life. But you see, Jesus has another mark. He says, he that, number one, hath my commandments. Well, where would you have them? The Bible says that we're to store them up in our heart so that we don't sin against him. If you're not spending time in the Holy Scriptures, you're not depositing into your heart those words that keep your mind and heart right with Jesus. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them and obeys them and allows them to speak into his life and govern his life. Not just he that sat there and read Psalm 91. Heathen can just sit there and read the words on the page. But there's more to it than that. We have to have pliable, open hearts so that the words we read penetrate our hearts. If we just read the words on the page, we haven't done very much. You could read a dictionary and get that far. But the words that we read on the page must penetrate our heart. It's got to get through to us. It's got to begin to seep in to the crannies and places in our lives, those little dark places where the demons hide out. The words have got to start collecting there to put up a barrier between sin and us. You see, where we allow the word to go in, it does many functions for us. It edifies us. It opens our eyes so we can see. It opens our ears so that we can hear. It guards our heart if we allow it to. And it stands between us and sin. It causes us to grow and to begin to bring forth fruit, if we allow it to. But you see, that's in the keeping of his commandments, in the obeying of them. You can read every commandment in the Bible, but if you don't ever do any of them, you would just read it. You can read every scripture in the Bible, but if they don't crash your world and make you see yourself for who you really are, if it doesn't tear back the veneer so that you stop telling yourself you're this absolutely perfect person with no flaws. If you don't begin to see Jesus Christ for who he really is, the revealed Son of God, and in seeing him, you see the Father, if that doesn't happen, you are just reading words on a page. Jesus is saying to us that he that has the commandments, that's good, and keeps them and obeys them, he it is that loveth me. You see, it's not he that has emotion. No, it's he that has the commandments, the word of God, and obeys them. That's the love. It's not all these goosebumps going down your back. It's not this great vision that you thought you saw. That's not it. It's in having his word deep in our hearts and obeying his word, humbling ourselves to full obedience to what he has said and dictated. And he that loveth me, Jesus said, shall be loved of my Father. Well, if we want to be loved of the Father, we will need to love Jesus. And he's already said we have to obey him. That's the love. That's the love that he's looking for. You see, many people feel unloved and rejected and isolated and lonely, and they want God to come love them. Well, God already loves you, and he expressed it by sending Jesus Christ into the world to give us an example of how to live, to reveal the Father to us, to show us there is a life beyond this one, and to give his life a ransom for many. Our Father has provided everything that we need, and he's expressed his love particularly through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus Christ could have come and not died, and we would all still be going to hell, but that wasn't the Father's plan. He didn't want us to go to hell. He designed hell for fallen angels, not for people. So he wants us to come around to the place that we begin to see our need for him, and we begin to desire to live a life that is pleasing to him. And we begin to want it so that we begin to seek him out, that we begin to thrive and to hunger to know what he wants and what pleases him, because we want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. So Jesus says to us that he that loveth me by obeying me and having my words shall be loved of my Father. So now if you have the word, you're obeying the word, and you're showing Jesus this love, you are loved by the Father. There's no reason for you to feel lonely or desperate, ever. You have the love of Almighty God. And I will love him, Jesus said. I will personally love this person and will manifest myself to him. I'll make myself known to this person. I will do this. They don't have to stand ringing a bell going, well, maybe Jesus will show up one day. I'm just going to ring this bell till he shows up. No, he says he'll do it voluntarily. He will do it voluntarily. In verse 23, John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. If a man love me, he will obey my word. He didn't say it wasn't going to be a struggle sometimes. He said you would do it. If you love him, you will keep his words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. and make our abode with him. So, if we love the Lord, we will keep his words, and the Father says that he'll love us, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit will come to us, and they'll live with us. So that's the end of your rejection. That's the end of your isolation. That's the end of your loneliness. And it should be the end of your pity party. Amen? I mean, what greater company can you have other than God Almighty? People will fail you, but God can't fail. So, some people feel they need this person in their life to feel okay, to feel normal, or this person, or this person. But you see, people leave life. They leave. They die. They leave. If you're holding on to them when they leave, who's going to love you? So then you go looking for love here, and you go looking for love there. But it's never really that love that completely satisfies you through and through to the core. It's the best you can do for now. And so you cling to the best you can do for now. But I'm here to challenge you. Stop clinging to that old love source. There's a better source. There's a source who will not die. There's a source who has life. He is life. Eternal life. He loves perfectly. He knows who all your relatives were and all the bad things they did and all the bad things they're going to do. He knows you before you were conceived. He knows all the bad things you've done, thought, and said, and all the ones you will do before you leave the planet. But he loves you fully, in a full expression, nothing withheld. He does not hold back and say, I'm going to wait until you get your act together before I'll love you. No, that's not him. When you were yet doing all the sin you thought you could do, he loved you fully, just as he loves you right now. How could anyone reject a love like this? How could anyone turn their back on such a love? You see, there are no secrets between you and Jesus because he knows everything already. Nothing for you to be ashamed of, even though you are, because he's washed your sins away. He's placed them as far away from you as east is from west. He doesn't want anything between you. He wants you to become one with him. Yes, he knows all about your weaknesses, all about your doubts, your unbelief, all about your failures and your proclivities to sin. He knows all about it. He knows you also have places that sometimes you get it absolutely positively right. He knows it all. He knows about the hole you're about to fall in that the preacher's already told you is there, and you just said, that doesn't apply to me, Lord, until you fall in the hole. He knows about that. But he isn't going to stop loving you because you fall in the hole. He'll come get you out of it if you let him. So today we're going to talk about dedicated to Christ. Dedicated to this one who loves us so. So much so that he died for us. He didn't need to die for himself. He was sinless. There was no disconnect between him and the Father. The disconnect was between us and the Father. Growth is the normal consequences of a healthy relationship with God. It is the call and duty of each saint to properly prepare themselves to fully follow the Lord and his example. The body of Christ is not a social club, as some have indicated by their behavior. Yes, the body of Christ has activities that may be regarded as social activities, but the body of Christ is called to fulfill a sacred mission as ordained by our Heavenly Father. In the course of each saint's exit from worldly pursuit and increased focus on obedience to the Lord, there are many series of steps which must be undertaken. Let's consider the pursuit of material possession. Let's consider that for a moment. So some of you say, well, Pastor, that's not a problem for me. But you see, the Lord looks into every heart, and he sees all that you have overlooked and may not be aware of. You say that things don't really mean that much to you. But the Lord knows how it would affect your faith in him if you were tested as Job was. God is no respect of person. Since he allowed Job to be tested, you should expect that you will be tested in this area as well. God sees every time that you get upset when something breaks down, requires repair, or needs replacing. Yes, the word teaches us not to take anxious thought on any matter. But in honesty, saints, we still do. We are still learning how to maintain our peace when matters go out of the way. Yes, our Father hears every sigh, every single sigh. We are still learning to adjust our attitudes concerning our earthly treasures. If you have been in the archive sermons on our website, perhaps you have heard Dr. Pat talk about the devastation that she experienced when her home burned. She told us that it taught her not to overvalue earthly treasures. Sometimes, saints, we have sentimental emotions which are connected to certain items. When we discover that we should let go, we find it hard to do so. But let go we must. Our earthly treasures signify different events, rites of passage, treasured memories that we hold dear. Yet the command from Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 19 is, Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, there are some things that you do need, but many others that you may need to release. The place of emphasis being where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I wonder today how many people's hearts are actually at the credit union or the bank or the financial institution that watches over your investment. You see, it's impossible to be in love with mammon and serve God. You see, this particular spirit, covetousness, is very sly and sneaky. He'll slide in on any piece of ice he can find. Amen? And that is how he works. That's what he does. The disciple of Jesus Christ is continually moving more and more of their heart out of this world. Saints, how well are you doing with this? How well are you doing with this? Are you stuck? Are you? Think about it. You say, well, Lord, I think I got it together here, sort of, kind of. Well, maybe you should hear what he thinks about it. Maybe we shouldn't listen to our own opinions so much. Perhaps we need to listen more to the Lord. Well, if you find yourself hemmed in by remains of a lifestyle that no longer matches your life in Christ, free yourself. Free yourself from the past. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. It's not going where Jesus is taking you. And if you hold on to that is not going where Jesus is taking you, you have a hindrance pulling you back. Open your hand and let go. You say, well, Pastor, it's not always that easy. Loose yourself from treasures that once served you well, but are no longer viable as the Lord leads you forward. There are relationships that we treasured in the past that are now in violation of the Word of God. You see, before, all you knew was Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, you know more now. And you're called to walk in the more that you know. Some of us are bound to our past treasures, yet Jesus has called us to be free from all bondages and unfruitful attachments. Others of us grew up not having very much in the way of earthly treasure. So you have a tendency to hold on to everything that you have been able to acquire. Your past is scarred by deprivation, having to do without. So you react out of fear when it is time to let go. Think about that. That's not something that you can cover up. That's something that you bring before the Lord. That's not something you ignore and push back into the closet again, along with all of that other stuff in the closet that you really don't want to pull out before the Lord. That's something you lay before him right at his throne. So, there is a different reaction for every disciple. In Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Saints, in order to reach forth unto those things which are before, we must forget many things which are now behind us. Some of us are bound to memories of how life used to be. Well, saints, no one can live their present life in the past and be fruitful for the kingdom of God now or in the future. Saints, I once had a neighbor who had lived a fruitful life as a Christian wife, mother, neighbor, friend, and citizen. But as the years passed, she evaluated her situation. Her children were all grown and had lives of their own. Her husband of many years had long passed away. Some of her dearest friends and neighbors had passed from this life as well. She found herself alone in a large home, continuing to keep up a home that she no longer needed nor had use for. She was trapped into doing maintenance work for her past lifestyle. So this Christian had a talk with her Lord and with herself. She had a talk with the Lord and with herself. She decided that life was not over for her, but she needed a new beginning. She needed a new beginning. Saints in Christ, you can begin again. You can begin again. Psalm 62. Verse 10. Psalm 62, verse 10. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. You see, he wants you to understand that riches may increase or decrease, but your heart shouldn't be so connected to those things that when they increase and decrease, your faith fluctuates. You shouldn't be having a bad attitude because things aren't looking the way you thought financially. You shouldn't be shaking in your shoes because you're going to have to leave your job because there's this mandate. You see, that means that you were trusting in that source much too much. It's one thing to have the source. It's another thing to trust in it. Your trust is supposed to be in the Lord. He is your constant source of provision. Not what comes in the mail, not what's direct deposited, not what you necessarily go to earn. The Lord should be your source of provision. So when something happens with that other source, you don't shake. You don't tribulate. You don't become anxious. You're not in frustration. Not only that, it happens the same in relationships. You've depended on this source of attention, this source of affection, this source of understanding. But when that source fails you, what do you do? People will fail you. People fail all the time. When they fail you, what do you do? What emotions are you experiencing? Is your faith in God shaken? Or are you still founded on the solid rock? Where are you? Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, take heed, pay attention, and beware of covetousness, because it's everywhere. Even if you live in some remote corner of the world, it's there too. Beware. Why? Because it's everywhere. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Life isn't made up of what you got. And he who has the most toys wins. That's just sin. That's just sin. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself. No, it didn't come across the TV that time. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I'm going to store them up for myself. He did not do Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God had a different point of view. God said unto him, thou fool. You say, well, how could he be a fool? He's prosperous. He has this, all this bounty, so much so that he doesn't have room for it all. How could he be a fool? Well, because of the thought in his heart, I'm going to shove all this back here for myself. It's for me. Nabal thought that. David and his men had protected them out while his workers were shearing the sheep. No harm came to them. No marauders came. No robbers came. They were protected. And so when David and his men needed natural sustenance, they needed food, they approached Nabal, whose plenty had been protected by them. Now, there was no way for Nabal not to know who David was, because everybody knew. The very fact that Abigail knew who David was tells you that Nabal did too. But Nabal was what you call selfish and self-centered. He was a fool. He was stubborn and self-willed. And so he knew David was anointed. Everybody in the country knew it. He knew it. But he decided, well, who is David? I'm not going to do anything about this. I'm going to sit here and drink my stuff, and I'm going to enjoy my food, and I'm going to have my banquet and later for him. It doesn't matter what he's done to protect my goods and my workers. But you see, in the end, it cost him his life. Be careful how you treat God's anointed, because God takes note, and he takes it personally. So God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Well, what happens if you drop dead right now? Where is all that going? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They don't go to work, not like you do, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and neither are they looking for one. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowl? You mean more to God than the birds. So if he's going to take care of the birds, don't you think he's going to take care of you? And which of you, by with taking thought, here it is, your thought life, can add to his stature one cubit? You're going to grow because you sit there and think, I'm going to grow, I'm going to grow. And I don't think it happens that way. Usually when you eat the ice cream, you grow somewhere else. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In fact, you don't even have to plant them every season. They keep coming back, and keep coming back on their own. You've got to throw them away to get rid of them. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Well, and seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink. Neither be ye of a what? Doubtful mind. No, you're supposed to be certain that God will provide for you. God cannot lie. His promises are to how many generations? 1,000 generations. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather, instead of all that stuff you see the world doing, seek ye the kingdom of God. You keep going after God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Keep going after God. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give, G-I-V-E, to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Alms, that's giving to the poor and the needy. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, a treasure that can't fail, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your heart is matters a lot to the Lord. You see, saints, whether you possess little or much in the sense of material things, as I said, covetousness is everywhere. We cannot allow it to re-enter our thoughts. We cannot allow it to re-enter our thoughts once we have been set free. This is a subtle danger. It operates in a slow or not easily apparent manner, and is much more dangerous than it seems to be. The Lord is faithful to his people. He is still turning each of us from our wicked ways that don't appear to be wicked to us. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, the Lord says, "But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ." Paul is making his testimony here. He's explaining to the Philippian church where it really hits the road. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. If I have to choose from all those accolades and life accomplishments and all that I had in the world, I'll ditch it for the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." Not one or two little things. No, not some stuff in storage. No, all things. "And do count them but dung, manure, that I might win Christ. To be found in him, not having my own righteousness," not something I worked up, because I fried chicken at the church and made sweet potato pies, and because I told them where to park in the parking lot, and because I sing in the choir, work on the usher board, and stand there and act like I like the people. "Not having my own righteousness," because of the things that I have my little check, my little checklist. "Okay, Lord, you said do this, I did this, check. You said do this, I did that, check. You said do this, I did that, check." No. "Not having my own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." I want my life to line up with Jesus' life. And everything that gets in the way, I'm getting rid of it. I walk away from it. I want nothing else to do with it. "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." I'm hoping that when it's time to be resurrected, that I'm to go up with the saints. That's what I'm believing for. "Not as though I had already attained." No, I'm not there yet. "Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ." You see, the Father had a purpose when he sent me into the earth. I'm trying to reach my purpose. I'm trying to fulfill my purpose, because that's part of why Jesus came and saved my wretched soul. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." I'm not there yet. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me." I'm done with them. It's one and done. "And reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I have somewhere to go. I'm on a mission to please my Heavenly Father. He sent me into the world just like he sent Jesus into the world to accomplish certain things while I'm here. And I haven't got time for all the stuff that distracts me from getting those things done. Along with that is who I am to become in his grace. I've got to push those things out of the way. They're hindrances to me. I must needs be become what God sent me into the earth to be. You see, saints, those treasures that we once thought were important and worthwhile, now, Paul says, I've rid myself of them so that I can put my trust and hope in Christ alone. Everything of this life is worthless in comparison to the blessing, which is beyond priceless, of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. I have walked away from all else, no longer valuing those things as I once did, that I might have Christ alone and become one with him. I no longer rest on being saved by my own futile attempts at being good or following religious activity. Instead, I am actively trusting Jesus Christ to save me. The Lord's plan to save depends on faith and full dependence on him, just him. So I have loosed myself from all else. It is the only way to really draw close to him and to know him. It is the only way to experience the might of his holy power, the same power which raised him from death. It is the only way to experience the fellowship of his suffering and to die to self in Christ. It's the only way. I have chosen to live life in a new way. I'm not there yet, but I have seriously begun. I will continue to work and finally become the saint that Jesus saved me to become. I will not fail him. I will become all that my heavenly Father wants me to be. So I let go of the unfruitfulness of my past, past memories, past treasures, past ideas, past lifestyles, past hope, past dreams. Yes, there are some dreams that I've got to let go of because they're not a part of where God is taking me to. And if they are, he's not hitting that button right now. So I need to lay it aside in his holy hand. And if he chooses to reactivate it in my life, he will do the reactivation. If he chooses to reactivate that part in my life, he will do the reactivation. I now look forward to what lies ahead of me as I live every moment to please my Lord and Savior. I am doing everything that I can with all the strength and power that I possess to receive the prize which awaits each of us, the prize for which God is summoning us to heaven, resting on Jesus' work and victory on the cross and beyond. So let us do this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily distracts and gets us out of focus and off track with Jesus. Let's give ourselves to run with patience the race that God has set before each of us as we remain focused on Jesus Christ, who is the author, finisher, and completer of our faith. Saints, let's just go forward in God. Let's go forward in God. Let's learn endurance in the difficulties that we experience. Good soldiers are hardened against wavering in difficulty. As no worthy warrior gets himself caught up in the things of this life and the works of the world. No, God's warriors live to please the Lord, who has chosen him to become a valiant warrior in the Lord. So, let me ask you, Saint, what are you hung up on? What's holding you back? What's in your way? What from the past is tying you to the past? You know, we have a fast coming up soon. And we need to begin to prepare our minds to enter into that fast. The Lord is calling us to humble ourselves in a greater way. And part of what we are to do is what today's message has presented. It is up to each of us to recast, perhaps, and to listen again so that we have it in our hearts and in our minds what God is calling us to do. Yes, there's some things that we need to let go of. And yes, there are some places that we have not yet been in Christ that we need to begin to approach, not in fear, but in full assurance of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Stand for the benediction. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And the church said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. I encourage everyone to recast this message because God had a lot to say. Amen. And he wants your undivided attention. Amen. Praise God. God loves you. Pastor loves you. And we'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.
You die.